WLTH Live Radio.
Yeah, can I speak to Juan?
On the air or off the air?
On the air. This is Mr. Keith Cantor.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I've been expecting your call. No problem. Just give
me one. You tell me 11:15 my time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm going to put you through to him. You'll be able to hear him, and then he'll conduct the interview from there.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Segment for Nuestra Comunidad, Northwest Indiana, which is on the first Friday of each and every month from 5 to 6 p.m. Is that our very special guest this morning? Good morning, very special guest.
Hi, Juan. How are you?
How are you doing, Doctor? You know what? I don't know if you've been listening to our program since we started at 10 o'clock this morning. I do have a co-host, totally incredible lady, but she is not here. She is on special assignment, so we will be doing this program, you and me. And you know what? Sometimes I buy newspapers and I don't read them until days after. But I think in what we're going to be talking about, as it pertains to drugs and alcohol addiction, I found something that was on one of the front pages of our local papers that I wanted to share and maybe get your comments on as it relates to what we're going to talk about today. But Doc, you are a nutritionist, is that correct?
Correct. I have a PhD in nutritional science and a doctorate of science in naturopathic medicine.
Okay. You know what? I forgot to ask you, what state are you calling from?
Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta, Georgia? That's great. You know what? I usually ask all guests that come on our program here, if you can share something with our listeners that has nothing to do with what we are going to talk about today, what would you like to share with our listeners?
Well, it's pretty warm here today. It'll be in the high 80s today.
Okay. All right. So if anyone's going to Atlanta in the next few minutes, go for it. But thanks. And you know what? Unfortunately, the USA is looking at a really not-so-good winter this year, I believe. So we'll see how that pans out. And hopefully, maybe the Farmer's Almanac is not correct on this country having a bad winter, period. Some more than others. But you know what? When I first seen your press release about you being a nutritionist, about
main program,
about how nutrition, what you eat or don't eat, plays a part in alcohol and drug addiction, and plays a part in the recovery of drug and alcohol addiction. I said, being in the line of work that I am, I said I've never heard of anything to this effect. So I said this will make for a totally great program, and we hope that our listeners will share that view with. Once we complete our program today. But how long have you been in the field that you are in terms of nutrition and so forth?
Well, I've been in the nutrition field and the healthy living field for, seems like ever, 30 years, over 30 years.
Okay.
So usually I was dealing with food-type companies and trying to make sure they taught the people how to lead a healthy lifestyle, eating healthy foods, staying away from foods that weren't good. And the CDC says 75% of all chronic diseases are nutrition-related. So that's what I was concentrated on. And more recently, I started concentrating on the addiction area because I was able to research and actually patent a program that helps people that are having substance abuse problems.
And how long did your research take?
God, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours.
Okay.
And it's actually very simple research, believe it or not. It just took a long time to do it. Actually, what happened is a friend of mine, Joe Rodriguez, is opening up some of the higher-end luxury class addiction centers around the United States. It's called five-star rehabilitation centers. And he asked me to be on his board, and he asked me to then do the menus. And then when I started researching it to do that is when I discovered and found all of the information, was able to put it together into a program, which I'll explain to your listeners when you want me to.
Yes. You're in Atlanta, is that correct? Doctor?
Yeah, well, Suwannee, a suburb of Atlanta.
A suburb of Atlanta. In the area that you reside, is that an area in which there is a major issue when it comes to drugs and alcohol?
Well, not exactly where I reside, but around, Atlanta itself has drug problems. The whole country has drug problems. We have over 20 million addicts in the United States. between drugs and alcohol.
Why do you think that is?
Well, the reason for it isn't because of the food. The reason for it is because people are depressed or people have family problems and they use the drugs initially as a crutch or as an escape, and then they keep doing it, and then the science takes over and their opiate receptors take over, and then they get hooked on the different drugs and alcohol.
And you know what? I did tell you, Doctor, that I am I'm in my 24th year of being a probation officer for our county in Lake County, Indiana, and I work with adults. And a lot of the cases that we get through our court have to do with drugs and/or alcohol. And you know, from what you just said of why, in your opinion, professional opinion, people submit to drugs and/or alcohol, that it's not going to help. It's on whatever problems you may have to try and avoid by doing alcohol or drugs. It's only going to make those problems even worse and cost you maybe your freedom at some point. It's going to cost you monies you have to pay for the courts. It's going to cost you a lot of things. Is that correct, Your Honor?
I mean, that's not, Your Honor. First of all, that's correct, but it also hurts and in many cases destroys the entire family unit.
Yes.
Which is very important for the community. So drugs is a major problem, and the reason that I developed my program, I only go through addiction and rehabilitation centers because I feel like that's the best way to do it for like a 28-plus day time frame. So they not only don't have the drugs, but they're also getting the counseling, the proper nutrition, and all the other treatments that go along with trying to get the people off of the drugs and have a successful withdrawal. What I did was just really some simple science, which, again, I'll explain when you tell me to enhance the process. Because what happens is, and you see it as a probation officer, in many cases around the country, the judges will say when a crime's committed and one of the problems was drugs or alcohol, they'll say, either serve so much time in jail or you go to a rehabilitation or addiction center. That's the choice they give you.
Okay.
And what happens is when they're going to these addiction or rehabilitation centers, the successful withdrawal rate, or I guess more importantly, the is so low and the relapse rate is so high, and that's because we're only treating part of the problem. And that's what I try to do naturally through foods for the other part of the problem and to raise the successful withdrawal rate and lower the relapse rate.
Okay. You know what, nuestra comunidad, Northwest Indiana, is about informing, about educating and empowering our listening audience. And today's special guest, Dr. Keith Cantor, we're doing just that because, like I said, this is something I have never heard of before, so to speak, and as it relates to drug and alcohol addiction. Let me read you this a bit and get your opinion on this, and we can go on to the main focus of your program and so forth. But this was in one of our local papers dated Thursday, September the 17th. And like I said, sometimes I buy newspapers, and I don't read them until days later. But this was actually on the front page, and it says, Task Force Gets Grim View of Drug Woes. State lacks clinics, staff needed to treat Hoosiers in need. And it goes like this. Indiana sorely lacks the treatment infrastructure and trained personnel needed to wean hundreds of thousands of Hoosiers off their drug addictions and remediate their often underlying mental health problems. That's the blunt message Dr. Andy Chambers of Indianapolis Midtown Community Mental Health and Addiction Clinic delivered Wednesday at the first meeting of Governor Mike Pence's task force on drug enforcement, treatment, and prevention. Right away, what comes to your mind when I read that?
Well, first of all, like it says, you lack the facilities and the personnel. But also, I studied a little bit since we've spoken before, Juan, and your successful withdrawal rate in Indianapolis is less than 10%. The national average is pretty bad also. It's only 13%. So that means out of all the people being treated in Indianapolis, 90% of them end up relapsing and taking the drugs again or going back to alcohol again. So it's a severe problem. So we have to fix not only the cause of the problem, which takes counseling and other things, but we have to make it, when they're going through this problem, to do everything possible to try to make their withdrawal successful, and then we have a program so they don't relapse, and we actually do that for free through the clinics.
Okay. Well, it says right here, even if we had more money going to treatment, there is no place for people to go for treatment, Chambers said. We don't have the workforce, and we don't have the infrastructure. So this was a task force, I guess, that's pretty new on behalf of our Governor Mike Pence, and there's going to be two more meetings coming up that are planned. The Governor's Task Force is slated to meet again on October the 16th in Evansville and November the 19th in South Bend prior to submitting their final recommendations to Governor Mike Pence ahead of the 2016 legislative session that begins in January. Let's go to your program now.
Well, let me tell you one thing first, though. Since President Obama has become president, which is about 6.5 years ago, the number of addiction and rehabilitation centers in the United States has drastically increased because, number one, it is covered by what they call Obamacare and lots of the higher-end insurance. But from the numbers that I understand, there was only about 4,000 centers throughout the United States when he took over. Now there's over 15,000. So I know this. I don't know how to do it, and I don't want to claim to be an expert in grants, but I know that if your state wanted to, there's plenty of federal money available to set up clinics.
Well, you know, sometimes for one reason or another, politics, whatever the case may be, and issues between Democrat and Republican, you know, one's in favor of one thing as opposed to the other one not being in favor of certain things. Things don't happen. Money's unapplied for. That's one issue that we have in some states, including our own. But you know what? Let's first talk about nutrition and how it affects, on the negative side, those that are addicted to either drugs or alcohol. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, first of all, when somebody gets addicted to a drug or alcohol, what they're doing and the cause of it, like I said, could be depression, family problems, peer pressure. There's lots of reasons that people go to escape to that, financial, you know, marital, you know, whatever the issue is. But once they start taking the drugs or the alcohol, there's a scientific chemical reaction that takes place in their body, and that's what I work on. What happens is, everybody has opiate receptors in their body, which is just clusters of proteins. And there's a lot of them in our brain, in our spinal cord, and in our intestinal tract. When we take drugs or alcohol, or certain foods for that matter, which is what I get into, we stimulate the opiate receptors. When these opiate receptors are stimulated, they release chemicals that give us urges. If we're addicted to a drug, our body interprets these urges that we want more of the drug or alcohol. If we're not addicted to a particular drug, our body interprets the urges that we want more sugar or we want more gluten or things like that. But for those that are addicted, since our body can't really tell the difference and it just feels it has an urge, when those opiate receptors are stimulated and releasing the chemicals, we take more and more of the drug or the alcohol. What my program does, or the first phase of it, is I identified all the foods, or the main foods, that stimulate the opiate receptors, like sugar, like gluten, like caffeine, like certain dairy products, you know, milk type of dairy products, like certain preservatives and dyes. And I made, with my team, menus that were, of course, very high in nutrition, very well, you know, well accepted and great tasting, but they do not stimulate the opiate receptors. That was the first thing that I wanted to do, because even though they're in a rehabilitation center, so in theory the drugs aren't available, if we keep stimulating their opiate receptors, they just transfer the addiction, and they'll start taking a lot of sugar, or they'll start, you know, taking a lot of caffeine. Then when they're released from the center, as soon as they're released, they still have the stimulated opiate receptors. They go back to the same friends or situation that they were in before, and they transfer right back to the drug. So if we could get them used to not having their opiate receptors stimulated and building their body up nutritionally and physically, plus, of course, they're going through counseling to see what the initial problem was, that greatly enhances the successful withdrawal rate. And then we have a program that when they leave, they get a special code, because I license this to the clinics very inexpensively, but to the people, they get a free code so they could keep following the diets if they want to, because I provide 5 meals a day, you know, the recipes and menus for 5 meals a day, and that lowers the relapse rate. That's the first thing, is to not stimulate the opiate receptors, and we're the only ones that concentrate on that. So now I'll answer any questions on that, and then I'll tell you the second phase.
Okay. Well, like I said, it's very interesting. Like I said, it's something I've never heard of being in the field. And like I said, we're here to inform and educate and empower our listening audience. And, you know, like I said, being in the field, you have faith-based drug and alcohol programs. You have state-certified drug and alcohol programs. You have inpatient drug and alcohol programs. So in your program that you just, you know, talked, how nutrition plays a part in having people continue to drink and or do drugs. How long have you been doing this program, and what kind of success rate have you had regarding this program?
Well, I just got the patent in July, although I was doing it before that, so I've only been doing it for about 6 months.
Okay.
The average successful withdrawal rate and non-relapse rate, if you want to call it that, in the United States from the statistics that we could get is about 13%. And although I'm not really, I don't have official numbers yet because it's too short. It's supposed to be a year or 3 years. We're finding ours in using this system in a facility, not just at home, in a facility. So we know they're not getting the drugs and they're in a controlled environment. We're finding us. Our numbers in the low to mid-20s at this point. But I wouldn't guarantee that at this time. I would bet on it, for lack of a better word, but I wouldn't guarantee it because for proper clinical studies, you need a year and a study and a three-year study. But by not stimulating the opiate receptors for approximately a month and doing all the other things that a typical facility does, we're finding instead of being in the 10 to 13% range, we're in the 22 to 26% range, which is still way too low, but it's a lot higher than it is right now. And it doesn't cost any money, so any more money, because the foods that we use aren't fancy foods. I made sure of that. We did testing with that and actually went to Walmart to make sure the food was going to be the same as what they were eating anyhow.
We are talking with Dr. Keith Cantor, who's calling in from an area close to Atlanta, Georgia. He is a nutritionist, among other career talents in the medical field. We are talking today about how nutrition plays a part when it comes to drug and alcohol addiction and how nutrition plays a part in the recovery of drug and alcohol addiction. Our call-in number is 219-885-1371, 219-885-1371.
By the way, could I say something? My site, which is called namedprogram.com,
yes.
There's a button in the top right-hand corner, so the site is in English because, you know, that's my main language. But if you click on it, and they'll see it up on, like I said, the top right-hand corner, the whole site is also in Spanish once they click on it.
That'll work. That's great.
Because yours is bilingual, so.
Yes. So what are, okay, those that are addicted to drugs and or alcohol, are there, like, you know, you talked about how sugar plays a major part in for them to continue to stay on their addiction there. So are there any particular sugar items or foods that you can mention that a lot of these drug or alcohol-related addicts go for?
Yeah, if you think of it and you watch it, when you even have somebody in a rehabilitation center and they have their parents come to visit or friends coming to visit, they'll always ask you to bring me chocolate, bring me sweets.
Okay.
Because that's what they want. They want that feeling that they get when their opiate receptors are stimulated. And that's why the food industry puts sugar in almost everything. And that's why more and more people are becoming gluten intolerant and gluten free, because gluten does the same thing and it stimulates the opiate receptors, which are wheat products. Dairy products do the same thing. So you want to stay away as much as humanly possible from anything with sugar in it, anything with gluten in it, milk-type dairy products. A lot of the sugar substitutes, except for stevia, stimulate the opiate receptors. So you want to stay away from that and go towards more healthy foods. If they go to my site, which I'm sure you'll give them, thenameprogram.com, there's a free week of menus there that they could just click on. And
you know, let me ask you this, because I have the email at home. Not too long ago on the Internet, and you can't actually always believe everything that's on the Internet, but there was a information about how gluten-free diets, I think maybe in some cases on certain people, may cause anxiety or depression. Have you heard anything of such?
Well, let me explain gluten-free, because my wife tries to be gluten-free. I'm really not.
Okay.
I am for this diet, but for a specific reason. But this is what they found. The type of wheat that we have in the United States over the years has changed, and it has some different elements in it now, a different protein called, I believe it's called gliadin. But anyhow, if you have a disease called celiac disease and you have anything with gluten in it, which is wheat, it truly makes you sick, like you must go to the hospital.
Okay.
But what we're finding now with people is that if they take gluten, some people, it just makes them not feel well. It bothers their stomach. It gives them diarrhea. Also, what we found is that if you regularly eat gluten, you will tend to consume more calories per day than if you don't eat gluten but had basically the same diet. If you go on a diet and just eliminate sugar, you'll lose a certain amount of weight. If you eliminate sugar and gluten, you'll lose double the weight. So there are some good things to it. I haven't read about it causing depression, but I do know that everybody doesn't need to be gluten-free unless you're addicted to a substance, you know, and you don't want to stimulate the opiate receptors like the program that I have, name program. But I haven't heard about depression, but I know that my wife, whenever we go out and she sees everybody else eating stuff that she wants to eat and she
sure.
can't eat it because it's gluten, she feels pretty depressed. But I don't know about real clinical depression.
You know what, can you tell us a little bit about your mission statement?
Well, yeah, what my concept is to increase the success rate of addiction withdrawal and lower the relapse rate of addicts in recovery throughout the United States, and to do it through natural nutritional methods. And we're starting to do it. Like I said, we're pretty new, but the word's starting to spread. We've been in a lot of magazines. We've been on a lot of the major radio shows, and the message is starting to spread. I'm getting more and more calls from now the government, like the VA and some prisons, you know, that have addiction programs, because I did it very inexpensively, and there is a second phase to it. Besides just staying away from gluten, from stimulating the opiate receptors, the other problem that addicts have, or people that have substance abuse problems have, is they have inflammation. They have swelling inside their body, not like a swollen ankle, but internal. And this causes things like arthritis to bother you more, you know, your joints, fibromyalgia, Crohn's disease. But what it also does is it throws off your insulin mechanism. And that's what controls our sugar. So by throwing that off, it gives us sugar cravings, or the opposite. It really doesn't work, and it makes all of our cells drop the sugar in our body and stimulate the opiate receptors. So we have to fix the inflammation, and inflammation is caused by a low pH, acidosis, because of the junky food that most people eat. Really, most Americans, with addicts, it's just even higher. You know, from eating junk food, it contains, you know, that's very low, a low pH, acidic. So my menus that are planned are higher pH. You can't tell that, but within the foods we put things to raise the pH, and we also give them water that has a slightly higher pH. But regular foods like lemons, limes, watermelon, grapefruit, broccoli, spinach, asparagus, onions, garlic, and herbal teas all have a higher pH. Once we raise that pH, we get rid of the inflammation, and that helps a lot also in not stimulating the opiate receptors because we fix the insulin mechanism. So those two things are very important in our program, and like I said, they're very easy to do. It's very simple science. There's plenty of clinical studies to back it up, and it increases the successful withdrawal rate, and it lowers the relapse rate, because if you look on my site, when you go to nameprogram.com, there's a spot there that says in recovery. If you just click on that, when the people are leaving the facility, we ask them to do that. They get a special code, and then they could follow up on the latest news and the latest menus, because we're always updating them, and they could do that for free after they leave. And I know 100% of the people won't do it, but if even 10, 15, 20, 30% of them do it because they like the food and they like the diets and it's free, that helps lower the relapse rate. And to the best of my knowledge, we're the only ones that have a 100% free follow-up program with the people once they leave a rehabilitation or addiction facility.
This is Nuestra Comunidad, Northwest Indiana. It's the only bilingual talk program of its kind in Northwest Indiana and only on WLTH AM 1370, the region's choice and the people's voice. Our call-in number is 219-885-1371, 219-885-1371. We are talking with Dr. Keith Cantor about the issue of nutrition, about the issue of drug and alcohol addiction. I wanted to ask you, Doctor, in terms of the program, is it just strictly menu-based, or is there any type of counseling involved that doesn't involve menu or nutrition?
Okay. My part of the program is menu and recipe-based, you know, and water-based. But I only do it through facilities, you know, addiction and rehabilitation facilities, and all of those facilities have counseling. Because I believe my program will only work well if they're in a controlled environment that has counseling, that has, you know, people trying to figure out what caused the problem to begin with, that has physical exercise, things like yoga and meditation, to help the people relax, besides the good nutrition in a controlled environment. So although I don't physically own the facility and mine is just the menus and recipes, I'll only do it with a facility that does everything, because that's the best chance of it working. And I only let people use my program if they're in a facility and then leave. I won't let them do it without going to a facility, because I think then the numbers would just be too low, and I don't want to just replicate what we have now, a 10% rate. You know, so my goal is to make it 100%, but if I could double it to begin with, then at least I know I'm on the right path.
Ladies and gentlemen, the website is named NAMED program, PROGRAM.com. So what you're telling us, Doctor, is that your program is like a supplement in addition to the normal counseling that people go through when it comes to drugs and or alcohol.
That's correct. I'll only do it through a facility because I'm scared if I just do it direct to the public. Number one, I don't have a business plan that is set up for that. And I do that for free when they leave the facility. But I want it to be in a controlled environment so they have everything going for them. They have the counseling. They have the exercise. They have the overall good nutrition. They have the amino acid therapy, which I strongly recommend for people, which is like a shot in the arm to get them towards good nutrition. And the whole concept is to make them feel good for other reasons than having their opiate receptors stimulated. I want them to feel good because they physically feel better. I want them to feel good because now they could do two push-ups and they could never do a push-up before. Or they could stretch and they couldn't do that before. Because they're figuring out what caused the problem to begin with. They feel better. They could walk better. They lost weight or gained weight, whatever they needed. All of those things, those types of self-esteem is where I want them to get their high from, instead of getting their high from drugs and alcohol.
Let me ask you this, Doctor. Since you said this has only been taking place for about 6 months or so. Let's say there's situations where the individuals go through their normal counseling, they go through the your program and the nutrition plan and so forth, but for some reason or another, they relapse. What do you have in place for that?
Well, when they relapse, what they tend to do is they go back to a facility. That's, you know, what happens now in the United States.
Okay.
So if they relapse, they would do it again. But just to be honest, if they relapse, what happens is either what caused the problem to begin with, they couldn't overcome, you know, the family problem or the financial problem or the peer pressure or whatever, but they won't relapse if they stay on my program and they do not stimulate their opiate receptors. I could tell you this, there's no people now that are addicted to drugs and alcohol anywhere that do not have stimulated opiate receptors, and that's not because of me, that's just science. So if we could stop them from doing stimulating the opiate receptors, keep the inflammation down or totally get rid of it so we don't stimulate the opiate receptors and throw the insulin mechanism off, and work on their self-esteem and their nutrition and their health and healthy living. Once somebody really respects, and I don't want to sound funky, and loves their body and that's important to them, they won't do anything to hurt it.
So in a sense, what you eat, what you drink can make a big difference in a lot of things because, in particular, when it comes to drug and alcohol addiction.
That's correct. And, you know, people that have these problems have what a lot of people refer to as addictive behavior. If you ever go to an AA meeting or an NA meeting, and I have nothing against them, but if you ever go to those, you will see that 75%+ of the people smoke. So what they did is they transferred a terrible addiction like heroin or crack or something like that, or heavy alcohol, to cigarettes. Now, that's still an addiction, but I think we'd rather have more people smoke and less people on heroin and crack. Not that I'm recommending smoking, but that's what tends to happen. What I'm trying to do is have them not transfer it to something unhealthy and transfer it, for lack of a word, to something healthy. Like my kids are really into health. They've been like that. My daughter runs one of the biggest gyms. I think it's the number one gym in the United States, Lifetime Fitness in Dallas. She would never, it would never enter her mind to take a drug because she was always so into being in shape and being physically fit. If we can make the people think that way, not to that extreme, but where feeling good is important to them without drugs, you know, and being in shape and being able to walk and being able to ride a bike. And if that's where they could, for lack of a better word, get their high instead of from drugs, that'll go a long way and they won't relapse.
Let me ask you this then, based upon what you just said a little while ago. So then in terms of you making your funds to live life, you work through the facilities and the facilities pay you?
That's correct. I work through the facilities. I charge them a small license fee. It's no cost to the patients because the patients are paying the facility anyhow.
And, you know, we're here in Indiana, actually in Gary, Indiana, which is part of Lake County, Indiana. Although, like you said, you've only been doing this for about 6 months. Other than maybe the state that you are in Georgia, is this program taking place with any facilities outside of Georgia?
Yes, it's taking place. Well, first of all, I have less than 50 facilities right now, so I don't want to exaggerate it. But I only got the patent in July, so
right.
I only started selling it, you know, doing it. And right now I'm the salesperson, you know, and I have a staff of registered dietitians. And so, but I don't have a big sales force. I do it from my house. I kept the cost down. My license fee is extremely cheap. For an entire facility, I charge them $150 a month or $1,500 a year. That means if they have 100 people in the facility, that's all I charge them is $150 a month. And I do 5 meals a day, 3 regular meals plus 2 snacks, plus they could ask me questions, plus I make available and tell them the amino acid therapy they should use. I make the special water available to them at a discount. So I do a lot of things for a very, very inexpensive rate because I want to complete my mission. And, you know, if I'm charging $1,500 a month instead of a year, you get less clinics to do it, and you would only get the fancy ones. For $150 a month, I could get any clinic to do it because I save them that much money just on water, and I save them that much money just by using my name because I'm fairly well-known, Dr. Keith Cantor, or the name program, so it lowers their acquisition costs for new clients. So I save them the $150 very easily. If they share dietitians and they just save an hour a week on a dietitian, my program doesn't cost them anything. So I made it very, very inexpensive so I can make it accessible to all ranges of facilities throughout the United States. The ones that are with the government and just cost a few hundred dollars a day to the ones in Malibu that cost $2,000 a day.
Doctor, you want, I'm going to give you about a minute to conclude here, and whatever information you would like to share with our listeners, including the website, again, whatever information you'd like to leave our listeners regarding your program, the importance of it, the benefits, go ahead.
Well, the benefits are is that I will increase the, our program will definitely increase the success rate of addiction withdrawal and lower the relapse rate. But what they should do is go to namedprogram.com, N-A-M-E-D, program, PROGRAM.com, and they could look. They could also get a free week worth of menus on there. There's a place for it, so they could see that and click on that and see what it's like. If they would like to go to the blog, they could hear me when I was on other radio shows or magazine articles. And if they have any other type of nutritional type of problem, they could go to my other website, which is DR for Doctor Keith Cantor, K-E-I-T-H. KANTOR.com, and under resources they could see that I have special recipes for just about every major disease like diabetes, Crohn's disease, etc. So this is just what we're specializing in now because it's such an epidemic in the country, but we do it for or I've done it over the years, you know, for all the major diseases. And you're right, we are what we eat for problems like Crohn's disease and diabetes, or these terrible problems that we're having right now with addiction, and they could go on both sites. It's all free. The facility pays for it. There's nothing for them to buy. Sure. They couldn't buy something if they wanted to, so there's no cost. And Dr. Cantor's site isn't, but the name program site is bilingual. You just click on it. They'll see the thing in the top right-hand corner, and it's the, for some reason they feel more comfortable doing it in Spanish, it's immediately all translated for them. But don't quote me if any of the translation is wrong. It comes from Google, and okay, they're supposed to know how to do it.
Well, Doctor, you know what? Thank you very much. I do want to conclude with some other things here before we end our program at 11 o'clock. If I can maybe give you a call later on and talk to you specifically about that's something that has to do with diabetes, so I would really appreciate that. But thank you very much for being a fantastic guest this morning on Nuestra Comunidad, Northwest Indiana.
Thank you very much for having me, and if you need anything, you have my cell number, so just give me a call.
Very good. Thank you much.
Thanks. Have
All
a
right.
great weekend.
Thank you, you too.